For the third time in Ohio State history, the Horseshoe is going to host a third night game. And what could be better than that? Ohio State, UCLA. By the way, it's Thursday. And welcome to The Beat. He's Jeremy Birmingham. I am Austin Ward. We could talk about a few things about this matchup, but it's starting to feel pretty fall-like out here.
It's a little brisk, but it should be nice and warm by Saturday. We'll see what the weather does, but who cares? It's Ohio State, UCLA. It's at night. It's in November. You expect it to be a little bit cold. You expect a little bit of a chill in the air, but mostly it's about Ohio State football and a game that you look at it ahead of time, and it feels very unlikely that UCLA can do anything to beat Ohio State, with the notable exception of Nico Iamilava having like the greatest day any quarterback has ever had by himself. You know, but he's obviously a pretty interesting athlete. He single-handedly fought with Tennessee last year. He was sort of by himself in that game too, despite the fact that they had a much better team around him all year than they do now. And
well, most of them didn't want to show up.
Most of them didn't want to show up because they were too busy trying to get warm after coming out shirtless. So Nico, I don't think he came out shirtless because I think he's smarter than that. But I think he might leave Saturday with, you know, less of his faculties if things are shaping up the way they're
going. Well, he left the last time with a cracked helmet. And I do think, because I was just going to ask you, what is the one thing UCLA can do to test Ohio State? And to me, it's obvious. It sounds like it's obvious to you. Like Nico, Ryan Day called him a warrior. We saw him fight his butt off in frigid conditions last December as he came in here with Tennessee and was, you know, basically playing by himself, as you just saw some of Tennessee's most talented players opt out. UCLA doesn't have any of those really to begin with. So there have been games where it's like you see him running around. He can make some impressive throws, but he doesn't have a great cast of wide receivers. And, you know, the question that had been posed to both you and me over the last few days, like, well, how much of a test is this for Ohio State? How much can they project it forward to Bryce Underwood and Michigan? And while I completely respect Nico Iamilava and apologize for saying his name different every single time, it's not...
Iamilava?
I haven't had as much practice as I did with JT Tuimoloau. So I apologize for that, and to any UCLA fans or to Nico's family. But, you know, Ohio State now has already seen multiple dual threat quarterbacks. We know how Matt Patricia will choose to defend them. We saw that with Ryan Brown. He is not as good as Nico. I would say Damon Williams at Washington is a better version of Nico. Both of them are probably better than what this current true freshman version of Bryce Underwood is. So, yes, it's a part that's worth watching on Saturday for the Ohio State defense. No, I don't know that it actually benefits them in a way that they haven't already.
I don't know. I mean, we've seen in the past there's been a player or two. Let's just go to Ann Arbor in 2023, for example, where a quarterback that you don't think is the world's most accurate guy.
I could tell you were wincing as I said
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I mean, there, you never know what happens. The problem that Nico is going to face on Saturday night is that he doesn't have the weapons around him to really help him beat Ohio State. He could come out and play the best game of his career and be the most accurate passer that he's ever been. He could run for 100 yards and they could still lose the game 49-28. You know, like, it's going to take something special from UCLA's defense. It's going to take UCLA really, really hammering home the ball control point and Nico being able to extend drives on third and long type of situations to put them into a position where they can challenge Ohio State. But I do think still that it is a good matchup for the Buckeyes defensively because he has probably unequivocally the best arm that Ohio State will have faced this season, and that I say that including Arch Manning with all of the hype around him. Okay. Nico, just as far as like a natural passer of the ball, like, the dude's got a cannon. He is a freaky athlete. He can run. I think he has almost 200 yards more than anybody on UCLA's team as a running back. So he finds ways that they use him a lot. I just don't know that that's what you want in a game where if Ohio State's linebackers and Caleb Downs and these guys like get a beat on you, you're in trouble.
Yeah, and that happened to him right away in his last visit to the Horseshoe when Cody Simon met him head-to-head and cracked that helmet, sent the message right away, and that wasn't fun. Again, I give him credit for continuing to fight after that. That's a tough message, and you could just tell there were Tennessee players tapping their helmet out on that one. We'll see if...
I know he gained almost said a lot of respect from people in this building.
A good amount.
There was
a buttload.
Yeah, there were a number of folks who coming into that game last December were like, this guy is not it, who left that game going, wow. Like, he single-handedly changed his perception in this building, I can tell you that for sure, last December 21st. So we'll see what it looks like on Saturday. But it is really hard to imagine a complete game, unless the Buckeyes come out and turn the ball over a bunch of times and UCLA can handle the ball for 10 minutes in the first quarter. I just don't know how they have enough to withstand everything Ohio State can throw at you.
What I think is really interesting about defending him in the way that Matt Patricia and Larry Johnson both are doing this with the defensive front is, like, Saturday night to me is the quintessential don't get bored opportunity for the Rushmen, because I can tell that they are mildly irritated at times, and Kenyatta Jackson maybe more than mildly a month ago talking about, I just want to rush the passer.
A little publicly,
I want to be able to do the things at defensive end that defensive ends do to make a mark for individual awards, for NFL draft hype, just like what he's done throughout his whole life. And like Purdue, you know, I was having this conversation with Zach Bourne earlier in the week, and during the Purdue game, was like, where's the pass rush? Well, you can tell that they're not being allowed to do it. This caging in the quarterback thing that Matt Patricia and Larry Johnson are using against the dual threat quarterbacks is wildly effective.
Yeah.
But it takes buy-in from Kenyatta Jackson, Caden Curry, Caden McDonald, Eric Houston, Tywan Malone, anybody else to do it, because you're going to have to sacrifice individual stats for the defensive front for the benefit of the structure as a whole, and for Arvel Reese and Sonny Styles to do a lot of that. And Caleb Downs as well, but that's what we're going to see. And you just can't get bored of caging in the quarterback, because the second that you do, and if you get out of your rush lanes, if you don't play disciplined, if you don't do the things that Larry Johnson and Matt Patricia are asking you to do, Nico's more than capable of making you pay for that.
Yeah, I mean, he beat Penn State with his legs and finding ways to extend drives. I think this is just a unique situation because of his arm talent. Like, if you give him 5-6 seconds to stand in the pocket, you're going to have those deep shots down the field like we saw Purdue try to take on the sidelines. You're going to see Nico will actually have the ability to put the ball 40, 50 yards down the field, which is not something any quarterback other than Arch Manning could really do at any point this season. And Justin Zwick talked about it on the live show at Roosters, the seams, the little vulnerability in Ohio State defense. And I don't know that UCLA has the receivers at this point to take advantage of that, but Nico certainly has the arm strength to do it. So it'll be interesting to determine or to see what Matt Patricia decides to do with the spying situation. We saw last week with Ryan Brown that it was Riley Pettijohn early in the game put in that position. Arvel Reese did not play. Like, is this a game? Well, it did not play much, but neither did anybody on defense with 37 snaps for the starters. I think that this might be a weekend where, like, maybe it's Sonny Styles' week off. You know, we just don't know how that's going to go. So it'll be an interesting exercise to see how the Buckeyes respond, because Nico is not, like, wholesale different than anybody else they face, but he's just a little bit elevated version of some things as far as his physicality, his arm strength, et cetera.
So, as you mentioned, we don't know how extensively Ohio State is going to rotate, whose turn it might be to have load management, some snaps off on Saturday night. I think we're going to see it. We definitely saw it more on Saturday than I anticipated. We were talking about it right here in this very spot. Last three things Thursday, it's like maybe Ryan Day will come out and put somebody out on the first couple of drives instead of waiting till the game is a blowout. I suspect that will probably happen again. We're going to see, and we'll talk about it on Wednesday night snap judgments, which haven't happened yet, but you'll have already seen them by this time. Health updates, whatever we get, who we see coming off the practice field. But if you were in this spot where Carnell Tate or Tywan Malone or Josh Padilla are still, I don't know, teetering on full strength, what would you personally do with UCLA, knowing that there is a rest versus rust conversation that we could start having based on what's going to happen 2 weeks from now and then beyond that?
The only thing that really matters to me, when it comes to the wide receiver, if Carnell's not 100%, don't play him. Like, that's, I just don't think it's worth it as you head down the stretch in these seven last games that you have your mind on. Tywan Malone, kind of the same thing. The defensive tackle is not, it is obviously a very difficult position to play. You're super close to the football. You have to be in a very physical matchup all game long. But to me, the offensive line, I'm beginning to wonder at what juncture does all the rotation come at the expense of consistency, of cohesion. Yep. And that's now, as we head into the 15th of November for Saturday's game, like, is there a point where there's a diminishing return on constantly rotating guys in, where you kind of are in a position to say, we need to know who the five are, even if the five includes a guy that is inconsistent? Because obviously everyone's been inconsistent, otherwise somebody else would be the starter full time. I think there is a risk that you run. If Philip Daniels can't go again, if he's in and out of the lineup, like, you're heading into the Michigan game, the Big Ten championship, hopefully the playoff. Like, I think you really need to start letting this offensive line gel. And maybe I'm completely wrong on it. Ryan Day said on Tuesday that he feels like it's helpful for everyone to split the reps. And I personally don't think that's the case on the offensive line. I don't.
Yeah. I'm really torn on it, honestly, Byrne, because we saw Ohio State make that adjustment against Tennessee. They had 2 weeks to prepare, a little bit more than that, for the playoff game. And that was out of necessity. You had Tegra Shibola, you had Luke Montgomery coming in, you had been scrambling already with Donovan Jackson and everything else that was going on. We saw an Austin Sarveld involved in that. And we saw them do that, and it was like, this doesn't seem like a good time to be experimenting, yeah. Which they had no choice. It was because of injury and not even a dip in production, which was not fully explained at the time, yeah. But we got a clearer picture of that as things went along. In hindsight being 2020, there was some value in that, and we understood Tegra as well. That's why I'm almost coming around to this idea, and tell me how off base I am, because I don't like being on this limb. Tegra is inconsistent. There are volatile swings. Ohio State is continuing to leave the door open. The rotation, again, is only happening at that one specific spot when the starters are all healthy. Every team in America has some sort of Achilles heel. And Tegra Shibola, if that's the biggest problem that Ohio State has, I think they could still win the national championship with him out there.
Sure, but that's the reality of Ohio State football. The expectation is you can't have a bad play. Ryan Day said it last week. You can't have a bad play in practice, let alone have a bad play in a game, let alone have multiple bad plays in a game, yeah. Let alone have multiple bad plays in a game that lead to your quarterback being walloped.
You're right.
But that's what I'm trying to figure out. Like, at what point is there a diminishing return on continuing? If Tegra is so inconsistent that you feel the need every week to rotate him in and out of the game, then at some point, and again, now this is a collision course between inconsistency and injury,
yeah.
Because Josh Padilla has now not been able to go out there last week and compete for the spot like we thought he was going to, but also we didn't think he'd have to because Penn State was Tegra's best game. So, like, at some point, you have to say, this is our guy and we're going. And I know that there's value in getting people reps all through the season, but when you get into this part of the year, I don't know that the value is worth the potential disconnect between the offensive line. Like, that is a group that you need to know who the guy next to you is. You need to know how he communicates. You need to know how he thinks. You need to know what he does well and what he doesn't. And when you're constantly rotating guys out, I mean, I know that Tyler Bowen and Charles Dickey and Marcus Johnson are doing a great job with this offensive line, but at the same time, I start to wonder, like, is Tegra going to get better by this continuing to happen? Is Padilla or Ethan Anianwa going to get to a point where they are now elevating so far that they pass him? I just don't think the answer to either of those questions is a decided yes.
Yeah.
And if it's not, then to me, it's like, this is our guy. Until he can't go, we're going to go and see what happens. Maybe Tegra needs that. It's similar to the conversations we had at quarterback in the spring. Like, sometimes once you say, this is our guy, we believe in you, we're going to give you this, prove us right. I think sometimes that can be as effective a motivator as saying, hey, this guy's coming to take your job.
Yeah. I'm not trying to play both sides of the fence here because I have been as critical of Tegra Shibola as any player on the roster, and I've asked more questions to Ryan Day about Tegra Shibola specifically than probably anybody on this beat all year long. I look at that as the spot where there is the largest room for growth, or where the standard that they hold themselves in this building has not been met. But it also reminds me of a conversation that we had throughout the offseason. It was about Lorenzo Styles. And of course, when he was on the field, he was the player that someone was going to pick on. Somebody had to, out of the Ohio State secondary, be fifth or sixth best.
Yeah.
And someone on Ohio State's offensive line is going to be the quote-unquote weakest link. They're not all going to play on every snap like first-round NFL draft picks. So I understand and see the same thing, and I've been talking about it for several months. And maybe America thinks that I've been talking about it too much.
I mean, everyone does, though. It's not just us. Ryan Day is asked about it on Saturday after the game. I see it. I see it, too. Like, no one's blind to it, but I think it's unfortunate it's happening at right guard, okay? It's not as easy to protect a guard as your dime tackle.
Dime corner.
Or your dime corner, right? Yeah. So, like, you can't put an extra tight end out there. Yeah, I mean, I guess you can and move him over. You could do Justin Terry, put him out at the Bison package. That can help the run game. But when it comes to pass pro, when it comes to getting out in front of a screen, when it comes to, like, just isolating your guy one-on-one and winning that battle, there's not a lot you can really do to protect Tegger in that situation. You just have to hope that he's properly motivated week in and week out. And that seems to have been a problem. But to your point, like, whoever comes in for Tegger Shibola is also going to be the weakest spot on the offensive line, because the rest of the offensive line is playing pretty darn well. And that goes with Philip Daniels as well. So, I mean, until he's obviously had a little bit of a dip in the Illinois-Wisconsin games and Penn State game, but...
I don't want to get off on a tangent, but I would like to know how long he's been
hurt,
limited physically, yeah, because that would paint a clearer picture. Maybe that is part of the struggles, and that's why I've said for the last several years, it makes it difficult and somewhat unfortunate. And I understand why Ryan Day wants to do that, to protect the privacy and the health of his team and to make sure that he can protect a competitive advantage for Ohio State. I understand all of that. But sometimes it does come at an individual disservice for players if we don't have, and that happened a year ago,
yeah,
to the offensive lineman.
Yep, and here it is again. So we'll see. I don't know that we're going to get an answer on Saturday. Again, as we record this, it's Wednesday about 5 o'clock. We're going to publish this at 5 a.m. We don't know what Josh Padilla is going to look like coming off the practice field, or Philip Daniels or Carnell Tate or anybody else. I think this just sets up to be an interesting weekend for Ohio State where you can afford to do some resting. But again, at what point does it turn to rust? And I'm not worried about that with Carnell Tate. I'm not worried about that with Tywan Malone. I worry about that with the offensive line, and that's pretty much where the worry stops.
There will be, and already has been, if you missed it on Wednesday night, Snap Judgment, there are going to be some updates about what those Buckeyes mm-hmm. look like. So if you missed it, go back and check that out, and then get ready, because on Friday, Bold Predictions will be here. I didn't actually give a third thing because we transitioned from health right to right guard.
Sure, sure.
So that, I think that counts.
Yeah, I mean, it's all relative. I mean, third thing. Let's just do the third thing here.
Oh, okay.
We'll make this a bonus prediction.
Okay.
Julian Sain.
Yeah.
80% completion again or not?
I think so. And you mentioned the forecast, and I've come around on this idea that it would be like
beneficial,
nice to see if it rained a little bit, if there was some windy conditions. It's not a notion or a suggestion that Julian Sain couldn't handle that, because he's handled literally everything that's been thrown at him in his first year as a starter so far. I know there's a long way to go, but I looked at the extended forecast for the end of the month, and it's probably not going to be that nice in Ann Arbor. You'll be shocked to know that.
Sure,
so if you had an opportunity. Because the other thing that's in the back of my mind is just that day before the spring game, when it was freezing in the horseshoe, and even executing a handoff for Julian Sain looked like it was a chore for him. And
it was 35 degrees, raining, windy, awful.
He's given a million reasons since then not to doubt him at all. But for the most part, he's been shielded from some of that, and lucky that Ohio State hasn't had to deal with those elements. And in the playoff or in the Big Ten Championship game, that's also not going to be a concern. But if
but
you would like to
get to the Big Ten Championship game, so you got to win in Ann Arbor.
You have to win a set of gold pants, depending on unless Northwestern can go shock the world on Saturday.
They can't.
They've done it before. So what was your question? 80%? Oh, yeah, he's definitely going
to
do that.
80%. I just think, really, that's what I'm coming around to, is this idea that I think it is potentially beneficial to have a little bit of inclement weather.
Should have a little bit of inclement.
Just a little bit on Saturday night. And I don't want it personally, because then ruins my night sitting on the field. But I do think that there is a...
Mick Walker can take the picture. He's
going
to sit next to me.
Maybe. There is value, though, for Julian to have a little bit of a challenge that may not come from UCLA or their pass rush or their defensive backs, but if you can just have something that puts a little bit more on his plate this week, I think it would be beneficial, which is going to be interesting.
Okay. Did you and Mick Walker decide when Talking Stuff was going to Thursday or Friday this week?
I haven't decided yet, but we're still looking. There's a lot of moving parts, a lot of things happening for Ohio State, a huge recruiting weekend. ironically, because it is a night game, the Buckeyes are getting a lot of players from around the country in to visit, including a couple big-time kids from Texas, a couple official visitors again this weekend, linebacker, there is another cornerback coming up from Florida, Florida commit CJ Brown. Like, it's going to be a big weekend for Ohio State, so we definitely want to make sure we are outlining it, talking all the stuff we can about it, and making sure that people have what they need. But it'll be either Friday morning about 10:30, 11 a.m., or Thursday about 5 o'clock.
All right, so that will be coming on the 97.1 The Fan YouTube channel.
That is exclusive to 97.1 The YouTube channel, just so you know. That's not on 10TV or anywhere else.
On 10TV YouTube channel and 10TV Plus, Friday morning will be Bold Predictions. And then we are, of course, almost to the primetime showdown in the Horseshoe Saturday night. Night game number 3 in Ohio Stadium this year, making some more history as this season rolls along. Thanks for joining us on a Thursday, a Three Things Thursday on the beat. I don't know if it was actually 3 or not. You count them up, America. You let us know what we did right. I know you'll let us know what we did wrong. He's Berm. I'm Austin. We'll talk to you later.